I'm preaching this morning on how to handle things you don't understand. Some things in life we just don't understand. I think that's common among all people. I watch folks come down with diseases and one person get healed and the next one not. I watch one marriage that is broken apart get restored and the next one not. I watch one person go through heartaches and trials and troubles, seems like with their family all of their life, and the next family doesn't. But just because you face things you don't understand, please remember, God always has a way for you to handle it.
Amen.
For some reason, for the past several days, it has been burnt inside my heart. And several times I find myself, even in the middle of the night, awaking with this thought. It's found in 2 Samuel chapter 6. I'm going to read two of the verses and preach to you about the rest of the verses in most of this chapter. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, let me just read two verses. First, verse 9. 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 9. Sometimes when you get to places you don't understand, you'll get afraid.
Yep.
When you get at a place that you can't figure out why you're there or what just happened, people get afraid. The Bible says, and David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? He said, I don't know how to handle this. I don't know what I'm going to do. But somewhere between verse 9 and verse 15, he figured out how to handle it. Because in verse 15, so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. It's a strange passage here and a warning to all of us, really, when you look at it in the beginning. See, David wanted to do a good thing. He wanted to go down at the beginning of this chapter, did go down to the house of Abinadab, where the Ark of the Covenant was at. And he just wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant home to Jerusalem. He wanted to give God glory and wanted to honor God. It was a good thing he wanted to do.
Yeah.
So he gets the priest together and he consecrates the priest. And he gets everything in order. You'll find out he brings in all the musicians in verse 5. He has them all together, all of it. You know, sometimes people say, well, I don't think they ought to have instruments in the church. David played before the Lord on all manner of instruments, made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries, and on timbrels, and on cornets, and on cymbals. That's for all people that hate drums. He beat the living daylights out of them. So he gets all the musicians together, and he calls on Ahio, and he calls on Uzzah to get the ark and put it on a cart. It's driven by oxen. They come up to the threshing floor of an individual, and the ox, I don't know if they stumbled or what happened when they got there, but the Ark of the Covenant started to shake. And when it started to shake, he did what we would do naturally. When something starts to fall, he just tried to reach out and catch it. But when it touched it, the anger of the Lord was kindled against him. And God smote Uzzah, and he died. David said, I don't understand this. I've got the priest. I've got everything consecrated. We're playing the right music. We're trying to please God. And God kills this man for trying to do a good thing. He was a good man trying to do a good thing. A lot of churches, God's killing them. They're full of good people that's trying to do good things, but the only reason that they're dying is because even when you have a desire to do a good thing, it has to be done by the rules that God sets in the book. You still have to follow it the way God said it is to be done in the book. Years ago, I preached on this. Someone said, I don't understand. The Philistines had the ark and they didn't die. But Uzzah comes along and he dies. And I said, well, there's a big difference. With light comes responsibility. With revelation, God says, I add the burden of your awareness to every blessing you get. To whom much is given, much is required. God said the Philistines were not of His people, but His people should have known better. And there are just a lot of things in life. If you go back and say, you know, this is dying in my life and I don't understand why it's dying. And maybe if you go back, maybe it's because even though you're doing good, somewhere along the line, you didn't do what the book said to do. See, God said to the people of Israel, you cannot touch that ark. That ark represents the presence of God and the glory of God, and you can't touch it. You see, it's one thing for us to bask in the glory of God, but today in this body, if God was here in the fullness of His glory, I could not touch Him with this flesh because my flesh could not live in the glory of God. So God says, you take these things, and there's rings on the Ark of the Covenant, and God gave them the command, you're to put those wooden poles through those rings, and the priests are to bear that ark on their shoulders, not on an ox cart. God said, I want man to bear the glory of God. I'm not concerned about putting my glory on anything else except the priests that have been sanctified for my glory. By the way, we are kings and priests. And God says we are to carry the glory of God everywhere we go. Don't pass the glory off to someone else. Don't pass the presence off to someone else. But carry the glory on our shoulder as God intended us to. And he dies trying to do a good thing. Some of you may not understand what I'm about to say, but it's the best example I could think of. Back several years ago, an individual that had been a friend of mine for years had been blessed of God with a great business, had better than 500 employees. One day he called me up and he asked me, it's probably been 8 or 10 years ago, said, I'd like to meet with you for lunch. I have a problem. I said, sure, I'll be glad to meet with you. A good man. His wife was a good woman. They had dedicated their business to God. And God had promised to bless them for that. And God had blessed them. And he said, you know, when we started the business, he said, it was just 3 or 4 in the family and kept growing. And he said, my dad passed the knowledge on to me that if I wanted God to bless me, I not only was to give of my tithes to the church. Now, this is what he said. He said, but dad always told me, make God your business partner. Share the profits that God gives you. Give him his share. No shouting now, is there? But he had followed that principle. And he said, God blessed the business, and it grew, and it grew, and they purchased other businesses, and purchased other businesses, and they kept growing and growing. And I said, well, what's the problem? He said, well, it's just like somebody a few months ago reached up and turned the spigot off. And he said, do you have any suggestions? And I said, you're a good man. And he was doing a good thing. Grace giving above what he was given to his church. Grace giving, that's a good thing. When you're given to the work of the Lord, that's a good thing. And I said, well, let's just examine a few things. Give me just a couple of minutes because I've got a feeling this may help somebody here today. And I said, something, did anything change? He said, no. Nothing changed. He said, I didn't change on my agreement with God, everything that I said I was still doing. And I said, well, who have you been given to? Not by name. But go back in your mind. During those years that you were blessed and experienced the greatest blessings, where were you sowing that seed and giving that money? Come to find out, he met a friend. And the friend laid guilt on him. And he stopped sowing. I can say this because he wasn't giving the money to outreach or to our ministry. But he got so consumed with the guilt of that friend that he cut off all the other missionaries and ministries he was supporting and started helping that friend out of guilt. And I said, there's your problem. He said, are you saying there's something wrong with the friend? I said, no. Try the spirits to see if they be of God. Check the book. I said, there's a problem there. I said, if I was you, I would change and start giving to the ones that I was blessed by when I was given. He said, I can tell you that because you didn't give it to me. Some of you are wondering why I'm not getting any harvest, because you're sowing in stony ground now. You're not going to get a lot of return if you plant your seed in the sand. You put the seed in a good place and it'll come back. You put it in a bad place, and what's wrong is you're afraid because someone's going to give you guilt. Brian and I know preachers that all they do all week long, and they're good people, but they're doing it for the wrong way all week long. They go through lists and call people, make them feel guilty because they didn't give them money last month. A little lady come up to me this week, and she said, you know, I haven't supported you all in a long time. And she said, you've never stopped writing me, and you've never stopped contacting me. Why do you do that? I said, it's not what you do, it's what you have done. I said, God understands when you can't do anymore, and God knows when you've done your best. I said, but we don't forget those things. And don't you ever feel guilty that you can't do it. Hold on now. It gets better if you just stay with the message. David said, there's something bad wrong. We've got to go home and check the book. We did something wrong here. We got something out of place. And we got to find out what it is. So, they said, what do we do with the ark? He said, well, we're near by the house of Obed-Edom. Let's just take it down to Obed-Edom's house and leave it there. I'm getting hallelujah goosebumps right now. Obed-Edom didn't have a clue what was coming his way. But that ark represented the presence of God. And the Bible says they took that into Obed-Edom's house. And everything that pertained to Obed-Edom got blessed. That means every time Obed-Edom walked in his house, he got blessed. Every time his wife walked in the house, she got blessed. Every time his kids come in the house, he got blessed. I think he'd run the chickens through the house so they'd lay twice as many eggs. I think that he would take everything that he had and let God bless it. He said, honey, go get all the seed, bring it in the house, because it'll be blessed if we get it near this ark. I don't know what it is about the presence of God, but I do believe there's some people here today that can say with a whole heart, preacher, you're preaching the truth now, because ever since Jesus came to my house, I've been blessed. And ever since the Lord came in my life, everybody that comes to the doors of my house, they get blessed. Why, you'll not only be blessed, but your community will be blessed. Thank God a lot of you got saved, because the jails would be a lot bigger. And the blessings kept going out. 3 months passed by. What a glorious 3 months. Somebody comes to David and said, something's going on down at Obed-Edom's house. Said, everybody that gets close to Obed-Edom, goes close to his house, they get blessed. There's strangers coming in from far and near. There's things that's happening down there at Obed-Edom's house. Do you know something? If we really get the presence of God in this church, people will drive for miles just to get a blessing. Just to be blessed. Most folks today are going to sit and look at a 6-foot icicle in the pulpit.
that'll tell them how to manage their money and tell them how they need to invest their money and tell them how they need to raise their kids and will tell them how everything is politically correct in their church, but they're not going to leave blessed. But I promise you, you are in a place where the presence of God is at. And if you want to be blessed, you can be blessed today because they started off right. Jesus is here to bless all His children.
David said, glory to God, the glory's back. Let's go get the ark. I looked at the book and I figured out what we did wrong. Now I know how to handle it. I didn't know how to handle it before when I had it. Have you ever got a hold of something, didn't know how to handle it when you got it, but you checked out the book and you said, now thank God, I know what to do with it. It's the reason some folks don't get any more money in their life. You don't know how to handle what you got. Yeah, some of you, back when you didn't have anything, you were tithing, giving to God, and helping your neighbor, and blessing people, and now, month after month, you forget to write your tithe check. Why should God give you any more? We are going to have church today, folks. Stay with me. I just want you to be blessed. I want you to know God will bless you. No matter what the devil says, you might have handled it wrong. But thank God you can go back to the book today and say, I'm going to figure out how to handle this thing right. And when David got back with all of the priests and he got back with all the musicians, he said, I figured it out. Now I know how to handle it. He lines them all up. He takes those staves and puts them through the rings. Has the high priest that are sanctified to the Lord. And he said, now this is what I want you to do, fellas. Pick up that ark. And he said, when you get it on your shoulders, this is what you do. You take 6 paces. And then stop. Set it down. Offer a sacrifice to the Lord. And he said, and then I want the trumpet to sound. And he said, when the trumpet sounds, I want you to shout. He said, don't go too far without praising God. Because God's got to be with us every step of this journey if we're going to make it. So he said, go 6 paces. Just 6 paces. When you get 6 paces, you stop. And then he said, sound the trumpet. And he said, somebody shout. You're not getting it. The thing about it is, don't go too far without some praise. You're not going very far without praising God. Some of you are going to say, I'm not going to eat dinner today until I stop and praise God. Quit being in such a hurry to get a blessing. Don't say, Lord, I gave it to you, and now I want it back in a week's time. Just take a little bit of time to say, well, I'll carry the glory, and then I'm going to stop with the glory and praise God a little while. And when I stop and praise God a little while, pretty soon others will start to hear, and they'll want to stop and praise God a little while too. You just carry a little while, and then you stop. And you start praising God. And pretty soon that gets contagious. And somebody says, do you mind if I get in the procession? I'd like to join this too. And old David said, sure, I'm planning on getting off my chair and going too. So he picks them out and says, let's go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, stop. When I came here, this was the church. Right there.
Amen. Amen. Oh, 1987. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is the finish. Somebody else ought to join. Somebody else ought to take it. Somebody else ought to praise God. Oh, didn't stop there. But no, wasn't long till we did it again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And the David, he says, oh, I feel something like I've never felt before. And the Bible says, David started to dance before the Lord. And the Bible says, he not only danced before the Lord, but he danced before the Lord. Stop and pray. embarrassing me like you right now. You say, oh, I invited important people. I invited folks that they, I'd be embarrassed if they saw me act like that. Oh, let the world see that God is true and the devil is a liar. And we're just going to march on anyway and keep praising God. I'm not too embarrassed to praise Him. How about you? How you going to handle the cancer? You're going to take 6 steps. Say, thank you for the day today, Jesus. Thank you for the day today. And thank you for heaven at the end of all of it. That's how you handle the cancer.
Thank you.
Oh, glory. Well, glory. Well, glory. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm talking about praising with all your might. All your might. Everything that's in you, praising God with all your might. Oh, you're to praise Him. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. I just wish somebody would shout praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord for all of His goodness and His mercy. I'm going to praise Him all the days of my life. Well, glory. Well, glory. Come on, Nelson, take a walk with him. Come on, buddy. Well, glory. Well, glory. I remember when that business was a dream. Well, glory. Well, thank you, Lord. We'll take 6 steps and just stop and soak in a little while. Say, Lord, you've been so good to us. Not because of all the material things that you saved our soul. Well, glory. Church camp, I remember it. Thank God. Well, glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, with all your might. Praise His name. Praise His name.
Praise Jesus.
Praise His name. Oh, glory. Well, glory. Praise His name. Oh, Lord. We're not going to go too far today without stopping and praising You. We've gone this far, but Lord, the rest of the way, and in a bit we're going to stop and praise You. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Well, thank You, Jesus. Oh, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Well, bless the Lord. Well, bless the Lord. Oh, Lord. We thank You, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, You have been so good. Oh, Father. Oh, Father. About the time they'd get a little break in praise, things would calm down. David would say, 6 more steps. Does this scare you? You're going to be in a lot of trouble when you get to heaven. Kindreds, nations, people, tongues, they all praise the Lamb that sits upon the throne and say, oh, glory and honor and power and dominion belongs to the Lamb that sits upon the throne. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. And the angels will sing, holy, holy, holy. And the church will sing, I've been redeemed by the blood. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. We started a journey by faith 2.5 years ago. We are now $3.2 million into that journey. God has supplied every penny. Every now and then I just have to take a few steps and say, Lord, I got to praise you one more time. I just have to thank you one more time. Because God, you've been so good to us. You kept us through what we could not do by ourselves. Wherefore?
Praise God! Praise the Lord!
David said, well, you got it right. Now you know how to handle it. You don't need a consultant. You don't need to run to the world for their advice. You need to just stop what you do and say, Lord, in my own way. I want to praise you for the glory that you've given. I want to praise you for the goodness that you've bestowed. Because, Lord, surely, surely, you have been so good to me.
Praise God.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory. Oh, glory.
Oh, God, I praise thy name.
Praise God.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Woo! Glory.
Thank you, Lord. Woo!
Oh, Jesus.
Thank you.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes, thank you.
Oh,
woo!
Oh. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, some of you are doing things you never dreamed you'd do. I guarantee you what I got this morning, acting like this, I didn't find it down the bar last night. See, they're still trying to figure a way to handle it. That don't mean that God loves me more than he loves others. I'm just telling you, that's the world's way of trying to figure a way to handle it. I used to try to handle everything myself and solve everybody else's problems. But anymore, when they come to me with problems, oftentimes I look at them and I say, you know what you need to do? You need to praise God. A lot of times they'll look at me in disbelief and say, didn't you hear a word that I said to you? And I said, yes, but you need to praise God anyway. He said, the preacher that lied on me, blessed are you when men revile you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. There's a payday at the end of the road, and God will open up the book and say, you remember when the accusers came and they said this and they said that? Look here, it says right there, they praised my name anyway. They praised me anyhow. They didn't give in. They just kept praising me.
Amen.
Say, my loved ones aren't saved. Praise him for when they are going to get saved.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus, we thank you. Oh, I'm not about to apologize for what I'm doing this morning. Fella came to me this week. He said, Brother Evans, I've been sent here by our pastor search committee. We've got 2,300 people, and we want you to come, Pastor. Would you pray about it? I said, no, sir. He looked confused at me, and he said, why not? I said, if God wanted me to go there, why do you already give me the message for Sunday for Rubyville? And by then, he gave me some more for you all. He called me back the next day to try to tell me how much that they pay. And I said, how often does your preacher shout that you just got rid of? The one that left you must not be that good, he left you. They said, well, he doesn't shout. I said, I want to tell you something. I'd rather stand one time with the power of God on me and preach with the glory of God there and drink water out of a jelly jar from the creek and live in a shack and know that God's presence is in my house as to have all the money in this world and not be able to praise God. No wonder the disciples said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Thank God, the power of God and the presence of God means everything. You say, I said amen one time. And they made fun of me. Those of us that are having a time this morning, we're making fun of you. You came here, got all dressed up, and brought your bucket and turned it upside down. And it's just running all around you, and you don't even know that it's here for you.
Yeah, come on.
You got some situations you can't handle? I'm telling you, there's a way to handle it. Go back to the book. Well, what about my sin? I'm glad Lola's here this morning. Jason the other night sat in there and told me, but I got all this. Preacher, I'm ashamed. And I got all, you don't know all of it, preacher. Lola will tell you, I didn't make him tell me one thing. Well, it wouldn't do any good for him to tell me everything. I can't wash his sin away. But it was funny how all of a sudden, out of that brokenness, Lola, I will never forget when we finished praying and looked up. And I mean, he was at the end of his rope when we started. And when we looked up, he was smiling from ear to ear.
Amen.
By the way, I praise God when there are just three of us. Sometimes I praise God when it's just me and Him. Sometimes I get about halfway up 52 and I think, you know, for no good reason at all, I'm just going to get out and walk around this old minivan. Thank God that was my daddy's preacher mobile. They passed that on to me when my daddy went to heaven. My mom said, I want you to take that and use it to preach. I'm telling you, that thing's got thousands and thousands and thousands of miles on it. Thousands of miles. I just hop in and it fires right up and takes right off. And every now and then I'll just get out and take a little stroll around that vehicle. And I say, Lord, I want to praise you right here in the middle of U.S. 52.
Amen.
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 Oh, glory. Oh, I got to quit. Oh, Lord. I get in the Holy Ghost, my body feels strong. I'll pay for this later. You know how to handle it. Sinner friend,
You can't handle it by yourself. You need the Lord. You need the Lord.